Hey guys, thanks for coming back and listening to Murderous Podcast. Just wanted to let you know, I started a new podcast network called You Hear Good Things. You can check out my other podcasts there as well. Now It's Debatable, that I do with my comedy brother every week, Dion Curry. Also, check out a new podcast that my wife and I started recently called Running the Slow Motion. She comes on, she talks trash about me every week, and people still say she's adorable. I don't know about all that, but you can listen to all three wherever you hear your favorite pods. And don't forget to like and share.
Oh, people, welcome back to another Murderous Podcast. As you see, the lady, everybody's auntie, everybody's black auntie, I should say, is not sitting in the middle. She is recording her first podcast that she's doing. I will let her dig into the details of that next week. I'm sure she'll have a lot she wants to say. But this week is myself, Sydney Smith, and my brother from another mother over there, Mr. Ray Earl with the cowboy hat. He never fails. I tell you people all the time every week, if you're not checking out the podcast on YouTube when you can, you're missing out, because Ray has a different look every single goddamn week. Mm-hmm. Ray Earl, what's good, man?
Well, you know, I guess since August isn't here, I guess I'll be the auntie today. Okay, how you doing? Right.
That'll work. All right, so hello everyone out there. I should have said this, but welcome back to the True Crime Comedy Podcast, Murders Podcast. I am your host, Sydney Smith. Again, August could not be here with us this week, but I am with my brother from another, Ray Earl. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this podcast. We take a look into the real life murders committed by women. And boy, do we have a doozy for you this week. Before we get started, let me mention a couple of things. If you could, if you are already on Apple Podcasts, if that is how you listen to us, go ahead, subscribe to us, follow us, whatever Apple's using these days. Also, leave us a 5-star review. Right now, we are still sitting on 50, all 5 stars. We would love to get some more added to that. Believe it or not, that's how Apple ranks everyone, and that's how everything gets set up for us. So if you could do that, that would help us out. And leave us a great review as well. So a 5-star rating, I should say, and a great review. If you hate the show, I get it, because we're not going to be for everybody. Still tell a friend how much you hate this show, because that's the best way for us to spread around word of mouth. We would just love to.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Any. Also, go ahead and join our Patreon by going to SydneySmithCreative.com and clicking the Patreon. It's going to be CRE, the number 8TIV.com. Again, click Patreon. You can join for $1 or 50, whatever to your liking. You can do that and help us keep the lights on. Keep this thing rocking and rolling. You guys can help out with that. Also, you can go get some of our gear, like the Hawaii t-shirt. If you're a longtime Murderous Podcast listener, you know this, where this comes from. So go ahead and rock that. Show some support that way as well. So with all that said, and that was a lot, let me stop talking and let Ray Earl start talking. Ray, sir, how was the weekend? How were the shows? What's happening?
The shows were good this weekend. You know, I did a backyard show at someone's birthday party out in Mesa, and the amount of Caucasians back there really scared me. Okay, I'm talking about backwards baseball caps, lifted pickup trucks, lifted SUVs. I'm talking about a lot of white, strong Republican energy, and I got scared. Okay, I was nervous. Okay, I went in with my best cowboy hat and my Bigfoot t-shirt, my NASCAR t-shirt that I got from the Walmarts to just try and fit in, you know. And I was like, "Do it." I told Gene, "Am I coming up heterosexual?" No, but, you know, I did my best. It was a good show, though. It was a good show.
Just for the record, if you have to, and this goes for anyone out there, if you have to ask if you're coming off blank, good chance you're not coming off whatever is in blank. So if you're asking if you're coming off, you probably are not.
You mean I can't pull off heterosexual? Okay. You mean that's not working for me, huh?
What about... Go ahead.
What about this? Okay. No.
You look like you're missing your show.
Okay. I'm trying to give you my best Teddy Pendergrass right now. Okay. Turn off the lights. Okay.
Here's the important thing. According to our conversation we had last week, there are a lot of dudes that we assume are heterosexual who would enjoy this look that you have right now anyway.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they would.
Speaking of which, Ray, I didn't get a chance to ask you after for people out there. We normally do a pre-show and post-show before and after the show. I meant to ask you last week, and I meant to ask you during this week, and I didn't get a chance. So this isn't me trying to throw a curveball at you. Hell, we didn't even talk about this during the pre-show today. Did I offend you when I asked you last week about hetero men who come off who are on the down low and things like that? I don't know if you recall me asking you about having those conversations with men who say that they're straight, but then they're actually on the down low. I don't know if I offended last week by asking you about that.
Oh, God, no. You know, it's the only way you can ever offend me is if you call me a fat bitch. Okay, that's the only time I have ever been offended. Ever. Okay, in my 41 years. Okay, that's the only time when I'm going to ever nuck if you buck. Okay, or whatever. Okay.
That shit woke me up. On my Alexa, I have it set for alarms. And when I say, hey, Alexa, turn off, it gives the weather and then it'll play a song to get me going. And it was Nuck When You Buck.
Oh, that's my go-to right there. Okay. That's my new stage entrance song. Okay.
See, so I made the mistake of saying her name. Alexa, stop. No, whatever.
Well, you know, she don't turn mine on, too. Is that what you're trying to do? You're just trying to...
No, I try to turn mine off, man. But yeah, play Nuck When You Buck. And I was like, oh, all right. I woke up and started nucking bucking at 6 a.m. in the morning. So it was good.
My cousin used to play that when we were riding down Woodward Avenue going down to Detroit. Okay, and then she would stop at that one liquor store. Okay, and that's when she had the 1998 GMC Jimmy that came with a little cooler. So okay. Then she would stop and get her a bag of ice. Then we'd get some Bombay Blue Sapphire and some lemonade, make a cocktail as we ran around down Belle Isle. Okay, now that was our Freak Nick, okay, before there we got a chance to go to Freak Nick, okay?
Belle Isle, you taking me back. For people out there who don't know, Ray is also from Detroit, such as myself. So we have some spots there that I'll say or he'll say. We're like, oh, I know about that shit. And Belle Isle, cruising up and down Woodward, and oh man, that was some good times back when that shit was fun. Back when that shit was fun.
We was looking for some niggas in 1999. Okay.
Yeah, heterosexual. That's what you sound like.
Heterosexual.
Right. You said you wanted to talk about Freak Nick. I believe you want to talk about it because Hulu's dropping that documentary if they haven't already.
Ooh, it is some grandmother scared right now. Okay, it's some saved grandmother scared right now. I'm talking about, oh, Lord Jesus, my babies don't know me like that. Okay, we about to see all your ass spread all across the Netflix. Okay, all across the 32-inch and the 64-inch TVs. Okay.
To go buy a new
now,
TV.
I ain't never been to the Freak Nick because I was way too young. Okay.
Yeah.
But I just developed my camera from my prom over 23 years ago. Okay. And we kind of close.
Why are you just developing it now?
Well, it was one of the things, you know, I was cleaning up my mom's house and then they sent me all these boxes or whatever. And, you know, we had all these disposable cameras or whatever. So I went and I had 10 cameras that I took to CVS and developed. Okay.
I know they were looking at you like, what the hell's going on, man?
First of all, I had a camera that said Perry Drugs on it. Do you know how old that is?
Holy shit. Perry. When did they shut all the Perry Drugs down?
They turned them all into Rite Aids, okay, back in like 93, okay?
I'm going to say we were kids when them fucking Perry Drugs went away.
My aunt was still driving her 87 Sable, okay, when they turned that Perry's into a Rite Aid, okay?
Everything you say takes me back. You talked about the Jimmy. Now you talked about Perry Drugs. Again, sorry, folks, a little inside stuff between two people from Detroit. If you're from Detroit or the Michigan area, you know exactly what we... In fact, I know because I look every week to see what regions of the world, because everyone in the world listens to this podcast. And we do have some folks in Michigan to listen to it. So they'll get what we're talking about. But Perry...
Oh, yeah, they know exactly what I'm saying.
When the last time you seen somebody pushing a Sable?
You know, I've been all over OfferUp and eBay and everything because I still want me an 86 Mercury Sable LS. Okay, I do. Okay.
What?
Well, that was a revolutionary car for Ford back in 86. It saved them from a bankruptcy. Okay. So, you know, it was that jelly bean car. that saved them.
But why don't you get a K car that saved fucking Chrysler if we're going out of business?
I didn't like all that boxy, you know, cheap looking shit. Okay, you know, I like a mid-sized family sedan. Okay. A stable, you had to have a little bit of money back in 86, okay?
Well, you did. Only older folks who had a little brain in their pocket drove those cars. Mm-hmm. You can't argue with a stable or any of that those cars made by of that line, because those suckers roll smooth.
Oh, yes. Smooth. I remember my other aunt had the Ford Taurus, okay? And I'm going to take you back. So my mom and my aunts and I, we were driving around. You know, we had went to Farmer Jack's up in Pontiac, okay?
Oh, shit, Farmer Jack's.
Oh, I know. I'm taking you way back. I'm taking you way back. And so my mom had these, you remember those dolphin kissing earrings or whatever, the gold ones where it was the two dolphins, then it was kissing. Yeah. So my mom had dropped one, okay? And she thought the bitch had stole it, okay? So my aunt was flying around Pontiac trying to stalk the bitch to get the earrings back. Come to find out, my mama had dropped the earring in front of the house. Okay? That was the last time she wore the earrings.
Who was the person she thought stole it? Did they know who this person was?
She just saw some other woman wearing the kissing dolphin, thinking that she was the only one who had the kissing dolphin earrings. Okay?
Your auntie sound like Big Worm from Friday.
I'm gonna tell you something about Elsie, okay? Whenever you get around her and there's some drama going on, is she carrying her purse real tight?
Pistol.
She a pistol, because back in 73, there was this girl who was trying to get after her husband at the time, okay? So my aunt and her sister got into her sister's car, and they drove around to my uncle's house, and the girl was following them behind, okay? So she got in front of my uncle's house, and she stopped, and she pulled her little thing out of her purse, and she shot out my aunt's back window at the woman, okay? And my aunt was like, "You shot out my window!" And my aunt was like, "Put it in the shop, I pay for it," okay? Because that's when she was married to the drug dealer, okay? Okay, but you ain't heard that from me.
You ain't one to gossip. I know.
One to gossip. Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my mother, and we're going to get back to Freaknik, folks, but now we're down memory lane. I was talking to my mother like a week ago. My mother now is a born-again Christian for the last, I don't know, a lot of years now. But I remember when we were kids and my aunt was living with us, and at the time, I thought my mother and my aunt were just arguing over my aunt leaving the mayonnaise, the top off the mayonnaise. My mother's very particular about things. Come to later on to find out, what I didn't know was these two had already, and they have always beefed since they was kids, but they were beefing the whole time that my aunt and my cousin were living with us. And my mother's not wanting to take no shit off nobody. And again, what I didn't know, because we were kids and outside, my mother had went upstairs, got the shotgun, brought it downstairs, had pointed at my aunt, getting ready to pull the trigger when the sperm donor came through the door and grabbed the gun and pushed it up into the air. She's getting ready to shoot my aunt, because my mother, again, is not one. My mother tell you right now, she said, "You ain't going to live in my house and run your mouth." So, she's about to put some lead in her.
Over some mayonnaise.
No, not over the mayonnaise.
Okay.
Not over the mayonnaise. Just the time that my aunt was living there, this particular time, there had been a lot of back and forth. My aunt had a lot of mouth. And my mother, to this day, she ain't one to listen to a lot of mouth, especially if you living under her roof.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell you, my mom and my aunt, this was my dad's sister. This was back like 1969, 1970 or whatever. And my mom and my granddad and my mom's friend, Janice McClain, they was at the Pontiac Mall. And my aunt, my dad's sister, was falling behind her with some other girlfriends talking shit, you know, talking about... And then my mom turned around and said, "Why you calling my mom a house and everything like that? Why you calling the house hanging up?" And my aunt said to my mama, now my mama love her mama. She said, "Your mama's a goddamn lie." Well, my mama took the box cutter from her friend Janice McClain and stabbed my aunt in the head at the mall. Okay?
It'd be like that.
It'd be like that. And like, do you know, they became good friends after that, okay? After my mama had to pay for her stitches and everything, okay?
As I like to remind my mother, when she used to tell me that I had a temper growing up and things like that, I say, I got the same blood in my veins you got in your veins. So I wonder where I get it from.
You know, that's one thing I didn't develop. I didn't develop that temper because Jackie, may she rest in peace. I love her dearly. She could go off. Okay. I remember.
Hey guys, this is Tamara.
And Sydney.
Thank you for checking out our podcast, Running in Slow Motion.
We've been having a lot of fun doing it, and we're excited about our new podcast network, You Hear Good Things. We have a few podcasts we think you'll enjoy.
For you true crime lovers, check out the podcast, Murderist Podcast.
You can listen to me and Dion Curry every week on Now That's Debatable.
And of course, keep listening to the two of us on Running in Slow Motion.
Don't forget to listen, subscribe, or follow, and share with a friend.
I definitely got it, and I got it honestly, and it's taken me a lot of years to be able to, like, you and I have I think you and I have become closer over the years, and I don't mind sharing things with you off the show, but yeah, I've definitely have become better with my temper. You know, being locked up will help with that, you know. It will keep you... You know, the fear of that, I should say, the fear of being, because I don't want to live that life. You were talking about the Freak Nick, and I was glad you said you wanted to talk about it, because in the news, I think there's four or five women who have tried to keep this special, this documentary, and there's a couple of them, I believe, are judges, are like prominent people, have tried to keep this Freak Nick documentary from being dropped. And I think it was Dale Hughley might have been talking about it, who said, if you are out there telling people you don't want people to see it, now people really want to fucking see it, especially if they know you. Now they're looking for you in this documentary. I think Dale was, I was listening to him on Vlad TV, talking about there was a girl that he was really had a crush on back then. And she ended up, he ended up seeing her with two guys at the same time. And he said at one point she saw him and she's like, hey, how you doing? Like, and I'm sorry, for our podcast listeners, she wiped her mouth and said, hey, how you doing? So I'm like, oh, why did I miss this party?
Oh, we was too young and too saved then. Okay.
My mother would have had a fit if she heard anything about me being at the Freak Nick. She would have had a fit. Absolutely would have had a fit.
Oh, you know, that judge is sitting on someone's bench right now going, please. There's a bunch of people probably going, please, if you don't play it. Don't play. There's a child right now who just saw their mama twerking on a Chevy Blazer right now. Going, is that my mama? Is that my mama? Yes.
Well, this is, well, you know who's at the Freak Nick, all of the rap video hoes.
Oh, yeah.
who thought they could just keep their kids away from the rap videos. Now, the whole documentary and you in it, well, good luck with that.
Uh-huh, with the mushroom haircut. Okay, talking about,
Good luck. Mm-mm. So we're going to get into the story here. I did want to say this real quick. People out there who have children, the world is not your babysitter. All right. So if you could just keep an eye on your children when you decide to take them out the house, that would be great. When I'm out and about, I don't have any kids around. It's just me and my wife. Just trying to have a good time, enjoy our day. I don't need your kid running off in my path and standing in the way. I don't need you yelling at this child. I don't need you. None of that. Take care of your kids or put them on a leash. I used to be against people putting kids on leashes. Now I'm for it. I'm a person who used to be a Democrat and turned into a Republican. You know, I've changed platforms over here. Put them kids on leashes. Get all those people out of
them. Them kids, okay? And I'm the first one to say, okay?
No, Ray said it. I second it, though.
Don't be bringing those crotch groblins around me. You know, I can love your kid from afar, okay? I'll be like, your kid is cute, but keep it over there, okay? I don't have time for it. I don't have the energy for, no, you know, I'm 41. Okay. This is midlife right now. Okay. I don't want your little running kid coming over here playing with, no, please keep your kids. That reminds me. Did you hear about the guy on the airplane who went off on the baby that was crying?
Oh, I said that clip, man. That was my hero last week. Oh, my man was good. What did he say? He said, I need you to.
The baby crying. Did you ask that motherfucker why he ain't.
He said, did that motherfucker pay extra?
Yeah, did that motherfucker pay extra? Now, I get why he was upset. I get why he was upset, but I was like, oh, this motherfucker then had it, okay?
I have wanted to do that so many times on a flight. That's why I gave that dude so much love. For anyone who's listening, who listens to the Now That's Debatable podcast, I threw that up in the group last week because it was so on point. And when he told the dude who turned around, who was trying to say something to him, like, calm down, and told him, you shut the fuck up, too.
But we ain't gonna see him flying no more. I know they put his ass on a no-fly list for a minute.
He gonna be traveling by car or Greyhound.
Oh, he on every bus and boat from now on, okay?
That's the only thing that keeps me from going off on an airplane like that is I got places to be and shit to do.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, shut them kids up, man, on the plane. You just do
The trick is, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to starve the baby before you get on the plane, okay? You let them cry all the way up until you get on the plane, and then you pull your titty out, and then you breastfeed the baby, and then the baby go to sleep, and then the baby asleep the whole... They don't know this, okay? They never was raised with no black mama, okay? That's what you're supposed to do, okay? You're supposed to whip that titty out, feed the baby during the boarding process, and then the baby asleep the whole flight. Okay, your baby was so quiet and so mental. It's because I fed this motherfucker and it went to sleep. Okay? Okay? We need to make a black baby handbook. Okay?
I will say this. I've never been on a plane with a baby that cried for 45 minutes. So I might snap too if that happens. Because I don't know how anyone is not like, yo, do something with this kid. He's hysterical. Mm-hmm. If he's crying for 45 minutes.
There's only so many videos I can watch of my plane crash documentaries on the plane that's going to keep me calm while this baby is crying, okay?
Babies bother me on the plane like anyone out there. I think a lot of people, I don't think it's just you and I, and not just his brother who lost his flying privileges. But the motherfucker with the kids, I know you see him kicking my seat. I know you see this child kicking my seat. Do something before I turn around.
What I hate more than anything is the motherfucker in front who leans the seat back, okay? While I'm sitting there trying to drink my juice and eat my peanuts and everything, and you done slid this chair back, it goes 10 degrees. How much more sleep do you think you're going to get from this? Wait a minute. From this to this. How much more sleep you going to get from this to this? Okay,
sorry, Ray,
seriously.
That was me, Ray. Sorry, that was me. I try to recline that motherfucker as soon as they let me get this motherfucker.
Oh, I sit in the front trying to hold on to the seat. Like, nah, motherfucker, we not doing this, okay?
You pushing it back up.
I'm pushing it back, okay?
All right. Well, thank you guys again for listening to Murder's Podcast. All the shit I said before still applies. Thank you guys for listening via podcast, and thank you folks who've been watching us on YouTube. We appreciate both groups. All right, let me jump into the story. It is my turn this week. Phoenix. Investigators had identified a body found in a burning garbage container early Wednesday morning. Fire crews were called out to the Covenant of Grace Church at 9th and Peoria Avenues at 5 a.m. to deal with a garbage can that was burning in the back parking lot. As they were dousing the flames, firefighters spotted a badly charred body stuffed inside the garbage can. So far, the investigators only say the victim is a 46-year-old male. That's the only thing that they would tell people at that point. There is the possibility that the body had been dismembered. Possibility now. The police, however, have not yet confirmed that at the time. Church officials are stunned by the gruesome discovery made on their ground. It's upsetting to us, said Pastor Leonard Griffin. We are sad for the family of the victim. We have no idea who the person was or what the situation was. We're here as the lighthouse for the community to try to help spread the peace of God here. We just hope we can take this tragedy and try to turn it into something positive and good for the community. Just like a pastor to say some shit that doesn't even make sense. How on the hell would you take the burning body and turn that into a positive thing for the community? You got something ready? Please, no.
When was this? What month was this? What year?
2009.
And what month?
What month? I want to say it's August, if I'm remembering.
Ooh, you know that was a hot, funky, fried body. Okay, if it was August in Phoenix, you know that shit was burning all over the city. Okay.
And for the folks who are listening, I live in Phoenix right now, the metro area of Phoenix. So does Ray, and so does August. So we'll know some of these areas as I read them. According to church officials, there was an event last night. So there had been an event the night before at about 9:30, but everybody who was there had been accounted for. So all those folks were safe. It was very early in the investigation, and at that point, detectives have had very little to go on. They weren't even sure how long the body might have been in the garbage container. Investigators were trying to determine if the body had been dumped at the scene or if the victim was actually killed there. His name had not been released pending the next of kin notification. And if you've ever watched one episode of Law and Order, you know they don't release any names until they go knock on your mama's door to let her know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's not how I would want to be found out, you know, on right. the news. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So then Phoenix had released the name of the murdered man after that notification or whatever they needed to do had been done. And the man had been burned in the trash can, like I was saying before, in the backyard of the church. So according to investigators, Terry Neely, age 46, was the victim. And he had been living at an assisted living facility.
With the you think help, it was for insurance?
I don't know. Yes, I don't know. So ooh, with the help of...
the living, 46, assisted living.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he sounded like he was developmentally challenged or something like that, okay?
Well, I think at the assisted living, you can be anything, right? You don't necessarily have to be mentally developed or impaired.
Well, I'm only like 5 years away from that. I don't want to be in no assisted living facility. Okay, first of all, okay.
Hold on, motherfucker. I'm older than you. All right, you're not.
Well, you close, motherfucker. Okay.
No, I'm not. That's my point.
Shit. Oh, 46 years old. I'm doing the math. That's 5 years.
That's why I'm at the gym every damn day, so I don't have to go to.
I'm about to go as soon as I leave this motherfucker, okay?
My wife is 8 years younger than me, and she seems to think we're going to die together at the same time, holding hands like they did on the Notebook.
This ain't the Titanic, okay?
I told everybody, we go at the same time. Y'all need to look into this. That was a murder-suicide.
Oh, that was a murder-suicide, okay. Somebody said something, okay, and someone didn't like it.
8 years, okay. They're going to be talking about we dying at the same time. So Terry Neely was 46. He had been living at an assisted living facility. With the help of surveillance video, detectives had determined that the last time Neely was seen alive was when he left the facility in his motorized wheelchair on August 2nd at about 8 p.m.
Motorized wheelchair at 46. So he was obese. Okay. Is that what it was?
I love that you go where you. I say wheelchair for some reason. Fat person.
What are you doing? He was in his wheelchair. Okay, is this what he looked like with the cowboy hat on? Okay, in his wheelchair,
like a Black Ironside.
Yeah, yeah. If just rolled through the city of Phoenix.
If you got a mother, you know who the hell Ironside is. She watches this. She's in the mysteries. All right. So he was in a motorized wheelchair. Was not. All right. Excuse me. Back up here. Police had confirmed that Neely's body had been partially dismembered when it was found stuffed in a trash can in the area at 9th and Peoria Avenues. So not only was it burning, they found his body dismembered as well. Neely's motorized wheelchair was not found at the scene at that point. Police do not know where it was. This dude, somebody chopped this dude up and threw him in the and set him on fire, bro.
Did they dump that wheelchair in Tippy Town Lake? Okay. Is that what they did? Did they throw it in the canal? Okay, I know where all these places are.
So, later witnesses called police after finding Neely's motorized scooter at a nearby apartment complex.
Now, you know, they only do shit like that when they're talking about they done found an 87 Cutlass at some apartment complex. I ain't never heard them say shit about no motorized wheelchair was found somewhere, okay? You know how when they find it for a murdered body and they always find the 87 Cutlass somewhere, okay? I ain't never heard. Now, this story is already salacious. Keep going.
The only thing that would make that funny what you say was they found this wheelchair on blocks. The only
thing that was okay. It was missing the wheels. Okay.
Let me make sure I'm going to write that down. All right. I ain't going to write it down. Yes, I will. All right. So, body in the trash can. Body had been burned in back behind the church. They had to figure out who he was by his fingerprints, obviously. Now we get to the point where his wheelchair had been missing, but then they found it not too far away by some nearby apartment complexes.
What? Now, how did they determine it was his wheelchair? Okay. Was there a VIN number on the wheelchair? Okay. Did it have his license plate on the wheelchair? Okay.
I don't know. I don't have that information, sir. I'm just saying it was his wheelchair.
I mean, that's how they find the cars with a VIN number. I didn't know there was VIN numbers on wheelchairs. Okay.
So the investigators searched the apartments at the complex. And in one of them, found a carpet had been removed and blood stains around the apartment. A blood sample from the apartment matched the one taken from the victim. A witness told police that he had seen smoke coming from the apartment at one point. And when he went to check, he saw a City of Phoenix trash can in the kitchen. Reportedly, someone named Simpson and a man known as Cracker had asked to borrow that same witness's vehicle. When they returned the car, she, being Simpson, told the witness she had killed Neely and cut him up. They threatened to kill the witness if he said anything about what had taken place. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So she going around asking to borrow the car. And said, nigga, I will kill you because I killed this other motherfucker. Okay. Oh, she was on that shit. She was on that shit, okay? And if you live in Phoenix and you know anything about Phoenix, you know what that shit is, okay?
And it ain't crack, it's meth.
No, it ain't. Crack is an upgrade. Crack is an upgrade here, okay?
Yes, it is. One of my favorite jokes, cat web sales. I'm a comic, raise a comic, so we normally don't do other people's jokes. I'm going to try to paraphrase as best I can without chopping it up. But he says, I'm about hanging out with new motherfuckers doing new shit. If you were selling cocaine last year, if you ain't selling crack this year, he can't fuck with you. So Phoenix police say they had made an arrest in the brutal murder of that man, whose body had been dismembered and stuffed in a trash can that was set on fire. The investigators say the murderess was Angela Simpson, age 33. She was behind the killing of Terry Neely, whose body had been found on August 5th. For 2 weeks, Phoenix police pieced together clues in the gruesome murder mystery after finding that man's body burning in the trash. On August 18th, they announced the arrest of the person who they believed was the killer. According to court documents, Simpson lured Terry to a vacant apartment on the 9600 block of North 12th Avenue for sex. When she got him inside, Simpson turned violent. She was accused of hitting Neely with a tire iron and stabbing him at least 50 times with multiple knives. His body was found with a coaxial cable wrapped around his neck and a 3-inch nail pounded into his head with a hammer.
What did he do to her? Okay. What did he do to her?
Love your reactions. We gonna get there. But when I first heard about this story, I was like, whoa, I got it. This is the one I kept saying, I got to do this. And I hope you guys hadn't heard it. Because I hadn't heard it, even though we live here.
I was living here at that time.
This is some crazy shit right here. Yeah. I was not. I heard of all these things being done to one person this, one person that, but not all of these things to one person. And the nail in the head, the 3-inch nail in the head was the icing on the cake.
Now, you know, that wasn't no rant. That was personal. No. Okay. Nigga, I want you dead, and I want you dead now. Okay? When you go to Home Depot getting supplies, hammers and nails, okay? You trying to... Oof.
Wait till you hear this next piece. According to police, Simpson, now 36, had lured Neely down there. Once there, she had tortured, killed, dismembered him. Simpson made Neely, who was confined to a wheelchair, watching a mirror as she beat him, stabbed him, and pulled out his teeth. The torture went on for 3 days. 3 days, bro, of this.
Oh, I think I know this chick. Oh, I've seen video. Okay, I know who this is. She light skinned, isn't she?
She's lighter than you and I.
Okay, I think I've heard of this story. Oh, yeah, this bitch was real crazy. Okay.
Crazy. According to the autopsy results, Neely sustained multiple blunt force head injuries. Some thought a tie iron had been used, so that's where that kind of came from. And it only got worse because she actually hammered, again, we talked about it before, just a minute ago, but she hammered the 3-inch nail into his brain. Neely's arms and legs were also removed from his torso before he was dumped into the trash. So again, as I spoke about before, folks, when they found his body, once they cleared it all and got a real good look, they could see that he had been dismembered. So here they're talking about arms, legs, been removed from the torso, and he was dumped in the trash and left there. Again, 9th Avenue and Peoria Avenue for people who live in Phoenix. So we're gonna get to the part here where there's some more things being described, some more things being broken down that the cops are dealing with. But then there are some interviews that she had done, Angela Simpson had done with 3TV. So she says, "I beat him to death. I killed him and cut him up," Simpson told 3TV in a jailhouse interview shortly after her arrest in 2009. The day she was sentenced, Simpson said she would have preferred to have kept Neely alive and tortured him for a week. That's what she had told them during the interview. She didn't tell the judge that. That's what she told the folks who were interviewing her. Go ahead, Ray. You're going to say something.
So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I've seen those interviews. I didn't know that was here in Arizona, because when she was when the interviewer was sitting there saying to her, so you tortured him? Of course. You know? Yeah, because, this was good. This was real good.
So, a grand jury indicted her on the charges. First-degree murder and kidnapping on August 27th. Simpson, who was already in jail when detectives talked to her about Neely, was articulate and straightforward in that jailhouse interview, calmly explaining that Neely, 46, was a snitch and got what he deserved. So going back to your question, Ray, and anyone out there who's listening wondering why the fuck she did it, because she says he was a snitch.
Mm-hmm.
She said that while she was kind of relieved when police arrested her, she also had one regret, and it was not killing Neely. She said, "I'm a little upset that I won't be able to, you know, kill more snitches, but I have no remorse about killing him," she said, after coldly explaining what she did to the wheelchair-bound man, all the while making him watch in that mirror.
What did he snitch on?
So... So when I was doing my research, which I will break down the sourcing of the story for you guys later, there were some things she said that she kept saying he was just a snitch and that he had been running his mouth to her about being a snitch. But she never really got into any details about
was he turning in drug dealers, or did he find out someone stole somebody else's sandwich? I mean, what is the level of snitchery that's going to get you tortured with a nail in your head and burnt on? Now, she just sounds crazy. Okay, now she sounds crazy, because I've seen the interview. Now, she sounded crazy, but I want to know the level of snitchery that's going to cause me to get a nail in my head just in case, you know, somebody come up on me, want to kill me. I was like, bitch, I ain't turned no drug dealers in. I just said someone stole my sandwich, okay?
Well, I want you to hang on to that question, because I do want to go into that, because I would love for the folks who are listening to reach out to us. You guys can go to murderouspodcast.com and send us a message there about what you're hearing today. I would love to hear what your thoughts are too, but hang on to that, because I do want to talk about that more towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm a little upset that I won't be able to, you know, kill more snitches, but I have no remorse about killing him after Cole explaining what she did to the wheelchair-bound man, all the while making him watch in the mirror. He needed to see what he deserved, she said when asked why she made him watch. Simpson pled guilty to first-degree murder. She was also charged with kidnapping and abandonment of the body. When 3TV's reporter asked her in 2009 why she killed him, the answer to Simpson seemed simple. I don't want my children or the people I consider family to be in a place where there are snitches, she said. Simpson also implied that Neely was not her first victim. She said, I believe informants and child molesters should be killed, period, she said. In a jailhouse interview the day of her sentencing, Simpson said her earlier implications that she had killed before were false. So that's what she says also when I watched the interview, that, you know, she had never killed before, even though she was trying to play it up that she had done it before.
Anything? Now, they charged her with abandonment of the body. Now, is she just supposed to lay there with it? Okay, to get that charge dropped? I mean, how much more charges can you get? Abandonment of the body. If I'm going to kill you, I don't want to lay with you, okay? You know, that was Jeffrey Dahmer, okay?
Everyone's got their own thing?
Yeah, everybody got their own thing. You know, if I'm going to kill you, I'm not going to keep you, okay?
I love that. As, you know, just in case you get off on the murder rap, I still got you on the abandonment of the body.
I got you on the abandonment of the body. Okay, what's that? 37 days in prison? Okay, fine.
I think that between those two, there's an extra 14 years because she got 14 years, I think, on top of. So
of a life sentence.
So that was just talk, 3TV reporter Mike Watkins asked. Right, Simpson answered. But she also said she regretted not killing a second victim, an alleged armed robber. She said, I just didn't have time. I had to go somewhere, she said. I should have killed him when I had to go. Watkins went on to ask Simpson how she felt about spending the rest of her life in prison. She said, you know, I've got a lot of family in prison. I'm okay with that, she answered. I'm okay with that. I've got many sisters in prison. I can't wait to see them. It's really not that much of a punishment to be sentenced to spend my life with family. Simpson went on. I'm sorry, go ahead. You going to say something?
I mean, I love my family, but I'll come visit you across the glass, okay? I may throw $10 on your butts. Huh?
And they're not real family. They're just people she knew who were women she knew in there. So not blood relations, as she went on to explain as well. She explained that she has had a history of mental illness going back to when she was 10 years old, but insisted that she does not want or expect any sympathy. She also said she believes she had deserved the death penalty, but is happy with her sentence.
I mean, what was her child upbringing? Okay, she should have found Jesus. Okay, she needed Jesus a long time ago. Okay.
Well, he outright asked her, "Do you believe that your sentence was fair?" And she took 5, 6, 7 heartbeats and said no. And I expected her to go the other way and claim anything, innocence, anything. She said, it's not fair because I should have got death.
You know what? I'm glad they got her off the street because she's a little too close to home, okay?
You damn right you're glad, because Watkins asked her, will you kill again? She said, if the opportunity arises, I hope so.
You know, I don't want to be at my car putting my groceries in the back of my SUV and then I get killed for some shit that happened. No, yeah. I'm glad she is where she is, okay?
Here's the most cold-blooded thing I've heard someone say since watching Silence of the Lambs, which is obviously a completely fictional movie. Watkins also asked her, do you think he really was a snitch? And he asked the question because there's nothing on record anywhere saying that he was a snitch. He was not an informant for the police at all.
There was nothing. He was just a nigga in a scooter. Okay, that's all he was. That's all he was. Okay.
Who wanted some pussy and some drugs. That's all he was.
That's it. That's all he wanted.
And so this is the most cold-blooded. Watkins, and again, Watkins is a news reporter interviewing Angela. He asked her, Do you think he really was a snitch? She replied, oops, if he wasn't. Then she smiled. It was cold, man.
You know, before she went to prison, we know she crazy. I bet you she had some of that crazy good pussy. Okay, you know it was. Okay, whoever got some of it. Okay,
let me tell you something. No,
no. I'm just assuming because you know I ain't never done no pussy before. But I'm just assuming if you that crazy everywhere. Okay.
You know what the funny thing is? You are not into women, and like you said, you ain't never had no pussy. But you had the exact thought that a lot of heterosexual men would have. Like, that bitch is that crazy. That pussy got to be good.
It had to have been, okay?
Myself included, not about this woman, but myself included, at some point in your life, if you are a heterosexual man who's seen some woman crazy, you have uttered those words. It's crazy that you did because you're not into women, no shape or form.
You know what? I may have to try some if it's that crazy. Okay. I mean, I don't know.
You too old to get these kind of problems. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just stay doing what you don't want these issues, man.
I'm just gonna be listening to the bitches getting killed in their scooters and shit. He just wanted some pussy. Okay.
That's why he went that and some drugs. And it'll get you every time, fellas. It'll get you every time.
I mean, was she gonna have to pick him up out the wheelchair and put him in the bed, you know, to get the pussy? Or was he, you know, he had that upper body strength to lift himself up out the chair and lay open the, I don't know.
You know the crazy thing is, she says to the reporter at one point, he walked with her to wherever they went. She said, I don't know why the media keeps talking about he couldn't walk. He got up and he walked. With me.
Well, I guess that's what we know, that good pussy will heal, okay? Good pussy will heal, okay?
I was just looking like, what is she talking about? This is out of her mind. He got him out the wheelchair and walked with you to wherever you were going? I don't know.
I guess he must have known something about that crazy pussy, okay? He was like,
well, here's something else that I found interesting. I myself am a writer. I've written a few scripts and have filmed them and working on a couple of the projects right now. So I found this interesting because as a creative, as a writer, and as a comic, and you as a comic, we kind of pull from different things that inspire us, especially if it's from our own lives. And I think outside of just writing jokes, you start to pull from other things that inspire you as well. Well, this woman in this interview inspired the woman who created Killing Eve, the TV show. And I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
I haven't seen it.
It's a really good show. My wife, Tamara, is really into it. Like, she watches it nonstop when she catches, you know, the full season. She'll just binge it. I have shows I like to binge. That's one of the ones she really enjoys binging. It's a good show. I kind of got away from it because I have enough shows to binge. And between that and everything else I do, I just can't binge a lot of stuff. But it's a good show. And it has the Asian woman from Grey's Anatomy. Sandra, I think that's her name. Sandra, oh, thank you. She stars in it, but she also stars in it with this other woman who's actually a killer. She's the hit woman. And so that's who they kind of crafted the hit woman around, was this woman, Angela Simpson. And the reason why, she said, the woman's chilling interview ended up being the inspiration for Killing Eve, the serial killer Villanelle, that's the name of the character, as played by the star Jodie Comer, who does a great job with it. When Killing Eve writer Phoebe Waller-Bridge fell into a Google hole while researching female assassins, she found Simpson's interview and was astonished to see such a direct confession. So Simpson's calm, direct, and matter-of-fact answers to the questions put her in the interview changed Waller-Bridge's perception of what a murderer might act like. She said, quote, "She sounds more like a psycho than anyone has ever sounded," close quote. That interview ended up being one of the puzzle pieces which brought Villanelle from page to screen and created the award-winning drama. And she's right, because that character Villanelle approaches what she's doing almost in the same way, very matter of fact, as if, like, I would almost kill you as much as I would just walk down the street and go get a Starbucks and a donut and come back and just chill.
Now, when you watch that kind of TV show and you see that kind of character, you're thinking, oh, this can't be real life. Okay, this is definitely fantasy. But then when you got video evidence of a motherfucker acting just like that, you're like, people is crazy.
Well, how many times you've watched the movie and said, I don't know how they wrote this shit. Whoever wrote this must be out of his fucking mind or out of her
mind. Yeah.
How you come up with this shit?
And then you was like, we got video evidence of the bitch right here. We can still go talk to her.
I got a project that I'm working on right now called Soul Betrayal. And I sat down with a possible investor a couple months back and I let him read the first 10 pages. That's the first thing I want him to do before we discussed anything. And every page and a half, he stopped and just looked up at me. And then he'd read. And he stopped. I think he got about halfway and he said, man, what's wrong with you? I said, there's nothing wrong with me. And then he finished it. And then we had a 2-hour meeting. And a lot of the meeting, or some of the meeting, was him just asking about my background, which I didn't mind sharing. And he said, yeah, I just had to know what type of person thinks up something like that. Karate says, I thought something had to be broken in you to think of that right there. And I said, well, I don't know where the shit comes from. But I'm sure somewhere, you know, it's developed maybe from people you know, people you see, and maybe from shit like this as well that you're inspired by.
You know, I fall asleep to a lot of true crime documentaries. I can see how I can get planted into your head. Okay, I can. Okay. You know, sometimes you just sit around sometimes. You'd be like, I could kill a motherfucker. You know, I really could. You know, over dumb shit. You know, a snitch. You know, somebody took my parking spot. You know, I can see how that can be ingrained. What? What? Okay.
Nothing. I'm not. I'll argue with crazy people. Go on. Go ahead, Rick. Oh, I forgot. Never call a crazy person crazy. We got to end the show quickly. So Dr.
Well, I ain't got no wheelchair, okay? So you good, okay?
But I'm the one who was in the wheelchair.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He's the one that got killed. The visuals. So Dr. Todd Grand, he had done a short video talking about this, and you can find that on YouTube. Just go on to YouTube and search Dr. Todd Grant. He thought that she was faking the whole I'm a cold-blooded killer thing, and he was saying he didn't believe that she was this cold type of killer who just didn't care and that she was punishing, because he said, for one, she tried to clean the scene with bleach. So if you remember earlier on, the carpet had been cut out, had been tossed. I believe that had been burned as well. There was some blood in there as well, but it looks like she had tried to clean some of it with bleach. So that's one thing that one reason. He also said, think she pushed this persona to up her protection in prison, because she'd never been in prison before. She'd been in jail, but she was getting ready to head off to prison. So he said that's another reason why she was trying to play this up. Believes that she was using the press to manipulate the entire world to get that out there before she was headed off to prison. And then he believes this was a simple robbery. I'm not sure of that myself. That's what he believes. I'm not sure if I believe everything he says, but I did want to give those opinions just to kind of give another way to look at this. Real quick, what do you think? Do you think there could be something here with what Dr. Grand had to say, or do you think she was playing crazy?
Well, you know what? If you are going to prison, okay, and you don't want no motherfucker fucking with you, you probably do want to sound as crazy as you can so nobody will fuck with you in prison, okay? Now, for him to say that that was a simple robbery, I don't think so, because the motherfucker was in a wheelchair, okay? Like, what is he going to do to defend himself against her, okay? Mm-hmm. He just gonna take the money and walk out the motherfucker, okay? And all he gonna do is just, wait a minute, you got my money, bitch. Okay, you know, he ain't gonna be able to get. Okay, right. Now those motorized scooters can only go so fast. Okay, seriously.
I'm with you. I thought he had some good points. you know, the whole thing of trying to clean up, cutting the rug out of there, getting rid of that. So I thought that was some good points. But then there's another side of me that says, this bitch held on to him for 3 days and tortured him, which she didn't have to if this was just a simple robbery. What, did she start the robbery and then decide, while I got you here, smell
this shit to you? You know, I like doing crafts, I guess. Okay. But I mean, to torture someone and drive a nail in their head, like something snapped in her if it was just a simple robbery gone wrong. Okay.
Something. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm with you. I don't go for it. I don't think I go for it.
Because, I mean, that bitch was crazy. Okay.
I do think she was crazy with the fact that she borrowed somebody's car and came back and told someone what they did and will kill you next. I thought that was bitch.
Now I want to talk to the motherfucker who loaned her the car. Okay, like was he how scared he was when he found out? Like was he shit in his pants? You know,
I was thinking about if I'm a dude out there in that world in that neighborhood living amongst these folks. If this crazy woman tells me this. Would I be too afraid for my own life to go to the cops? Or do I think, maybe there's a reward and I go tell the cops? I was surprised.
I'm going to be looking through my peephole and be like, I don't know about this one. Okay. Long
term. That might be a good point. What if this bitch want to keep my car next time? That's a good point. So, this woman who freely admitted in jailhouse interviews to committing one of the most gruesome murders that Phoenix has ever seen in the history of the city, she's going to spend the rest of her natural life in prison. Judge Paul McCurdy sentenced Angela Simpson to natural life in prison for first-degree murder plus 14 additional years on the remaining charges. The sentence of natural life means Simpson will die in prison. A defendant who was sentenced to natural life is not eligible for commutation, parole, work furlough, work release, or release from confinement on any basis. And that's how it's read in the Arizona Revised Statutes, the section defining life and death sentences in the criminal code. Detectives called the murder of Terry Neely one of the worst crimes they've ever seen.
When's her movie coming out? Because I want to see this.
I thought the same thing. How has there... I personally wanted to know, how have I not heard more about this? I've lived in Phoenix now for about 10 years right now. I'm shocked and amazed I've not heard more about this one.
I've lived in Arizona since 2007. So I was here around that time. And I don't know how I didn't really hear about it back then. Okay.
You've been here a long time.
And this story is salacious. Okay. So I don't know how we have it. That's my favorite word. Okay. What's my favorite word? Bitch. It. Salacious. Okay. What's my favorite word? Salacious. Okay.
All right. I got you too short.
So I'm like, how have we not heard this? Okay. I've only ever seen those video clips of her going, did you torture him? Yes. Yes, I did. Okay. And she was very matter of fact about it. She had no heart. She had no fucks given. Okay.
None. Like I said, she could have been going to get a coffee. She would answer the same way. You go get a coffee? I sure did.
Exactly. Like, you want to go to Starbucks or do you want to torture and dismember a motherfucker? What do you want to do today? Okay. I think I'm going to go get a venti. Okay. I think that's what's on my plan. Okay.
She did. And when you look at the video, and for folks out there, you can go find it. Actually, let me go ahead and let you guys know where I sourced this thing. I sourced it from a woman who confessed to torturing, dismembering a man, gets natural life in prison. That story was written by Catherine Holland of azfamily.com. Dr. Todd Grand, again, check him out on YouTube. So go to youtube.com. Marissa Wingate at 3TV, Mike Watkins at 3TV, and then Murderpedia. So those were my five sources for this. I kind of pieced it together here, there. But I wanted more information on, and what took me most of all putting this story together was trying to find out where she originated from. And that's what I always find fascinating about doing this podcast. And the last few stories, I have not been able to do it as much because there hasn't been as much information. I couldn't find anything here except for the fact that she had had mental health issues since she was 10 years old. I wanted to know what her parents were like. Did she have any siblings? She has four kids, and her four kids live in El Mirage. And they asked her about it, tried to ask about her children, and she said she didn't want to talk about them at all. So she has four kids. I got that information in El Mirage. And then she'd been having mental issues. First time being in the mental hospital or anything like that was at 10. But that's all I could find. I wanted more on that side of things. What's your eyeballs about this, sir?
El Mirage ain't that far from us. And you know, those kind of mental health disabilities, you know, they travel down. Okay, who are these motherfucking kids so we can stay away from them? Okay.
I got a good friend of mine who listens to the podcast every week. He used to live out in that area. So I would love for him, you know, to reach out to me via text message. I go say your name. Let me know if you saw any shifty-eyed motherfuckers out there in El Mirage. Because there ain't a whole lot of good happening in El Mirage, Arizona.
But no, it ain't. I'm double locking, top lock, deadbolt, everything in my house. If I know that her kids are still out there in El Mirage, okay?
I was also, but again, I wanted more of that. I wanted to know, because sometimes I like to find through lines from one murderess to the next murderer. Some murderers have perfect lives. They have perfect families and parents, and some were molested and had all these different things, and some went from this to that to this to that, and I just try to figure out, okay, I can see why you ended up being like this, but nothing there outside of her having a possible mental illness since she was the age of 10 that says, hey, man, this is how she ended up.
You know, this would be a good comeback role for Miss Halle Berry, okay, because she kind of looked like her, okay?
What'd you say comeback role?
A comeback role, okay? She ain't done shit since Catwoman, okay? So
I think she's been in some movies since Catwoman, hasn't she?
Name one, okay? Exactly, okay? She need a comeback role, okay? She need an Oscar-nominated role, and this would be it, okay?
I don't know why I'm over here playing defense attorney for Halle Berry in her career, but you think America's over Halle Berry, do you think?
Oh, I think we are. Okay. Uh-huh.
Maybe she made enough money. She's just kicking back, got her feet up.
If this came across my desk as Halle Berry, I would be all over it, okay? I would be shopping this script myself, okay? I can play that murder bitch, okay? I can do it.
I just pictured Halle Berry from, damn it, what was the Spike Lee movie she did when she was the fucking drug addict with Samuel Jackson on the street?
Oh, God. Ooh, she could play a good drug addict, too, okay?
She did. It was the movie with Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes was Samuel Jackson's brother, little brother. He was dating Jungle Fever.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was Jungle Fever, the movie.
Jungle Fever? She was a crackhead in that movie.
She was Samuel Jackson's girlfriend in Jungle Fucking Fever.
I don't know. As beautiful as she is, she could play a good crackhead, okay?
That was the vision that popped in my head was of Halle Berry playing that crackhead, playing this role right here. That's what the first thing.
She could draw from her past and receive another Oscar nomination, okay?
Wow, what was that about? That got ugly quick. What do you mean, draw from her past?
I'm talking about the role. I'm talking about the role. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about some of her past relationship issues.
Oh, well, you know, she was getting she was getting beat up by that baseball player. Okay, she could probably pull from that rage and really make this character just pop off the screen. Okay.
I'm not going to say what has been said so many times about Miss Berry, because she's a beautiful woman. Though mm-hmm. I thought her revealing her breasts and swordfish was a little overrated. But you know, she's been beat up by a few different men. it ain't just the one. It is not just the one. Well, thank you guys for checking us out again this week. Raise Face again. If you watch it on YouTube, you can see it. If you're not watching it on YouTube, I get it. But the faces, this dude pretending to be a black high inside in a wheelchair, the cowboy hat with NASCAR shirts, it all goes. It all goes. Next week, we will have August O'Neill back in the center chair with us, and she will be sharing the murderers that she finds. Ray, any parting words for our listeners before we go?
Make sure you lock your doors. Make sure you lock your door. I'm frozen. I keep freezing. There we go. There I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
Was I getting murdered? Who knows? Okay. Was there a bitch in there trying to kill me?
I thought they came together.
That got real scary. Okay.
Kids came and got you.
Her kids came and got me. I was just saying, make sure you lock your doors and check your surroundings. Okay.
There you go. Right there. Thank you guys very much. As Ray said, remember, be aware of your surroundings, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Murderous Podcast. Don't forget, 5 stars, reviews, share it.